Morning, everybody. Let's try to elevate our Hoshana Rabbah, try to elevate our experience of what Hoshana Rabbah is. I want to just start off by thanking the Huberfelds who are sponsoring Le'ilu Nishras Avram ben Shalom Tzvi. Aaron Tzvi ben Shalom. That's Shalom's grandfather's yahrzeit is this Tuesday, Simchas Torah. Also to Mr. Saif, who's sponsoring Le'ilu Nishmas Chaim ben Tzvi. Mr. Saif's father-in-law's yahrzeit is next Sunday. Limud should be Le'ilin Nishmesayim. They should be Melitzim Yesharim for the Mishpachos. And thank you for choosing to use this as your opportunity to learn Le'ilin Nishmesayim. So we're going to do, we're going to learn a little bit together. This is a very auspicious day, as we know. But I'd like to focus on one aspect of the day, which is the Arava, which is the willow. It's funny, the Arava is always the one of the Arba Minim, which gets the most attention because you usually have to replace it at some point in time. One has to always think a little bit ahead of how one plans the Arava. Let's learn a little bit of the history of the Arava, because it actually has a little bit of an enigmatic history, not so clear as to what's really going on there. So just want to learn a few Mishnayos and Sukkos, which in the Mishnayos in the fourth parak of Sukkah, which seem to be pretty obvious, pretty clear, pretty straightforward, but they're not as straightforward as they seem. The first Mishnah in the fourth parak of Sukkah tells us, Lulav v'Arava shisha v'shiva. Seems like four simple words, but they're not so simple. Lulav, the lulav and the arava and the willow would be taken 6 or 7 days. Complicated. Now, let's understand the phrase of lulav for a moment, okay? The lulav part of the phrase is actually simpler. In general, in the base of the Mikdash, the lulav will be shaken how many days? Well, 6 or 7, but 7 days, right? So because the pasuk says that it's for all 7 days. But on the other hand, it says Lukatim Lochem B'Yom Arishon, which refers to, so what does it mean when we take the lulav on one day? That is outside of Yerushalayim or outside of the base of Mikdash. Okay, depending on how we read that. Which means in the times before now, we would only technically shake the lulav if we were here in Lawrence. We'd only shake it one day. But in Yerushalayim or in the base of the Mikdash, you'd shake it all 7 days. The Mishnah is telling us that were it to be that one of those days were to be Shabbos, except for the first day, you'd only shake it 6 days. For that day, the Shabbos, there would be Shabbos, you'd leave it at home, you wouldn't shake it. Unless the first day was Shabbos, because that's when the Torah says explicitly, oh, we need to take it, and therefore to even overrule Shabbos in the base of the Mikdash. Because Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, in this particular case. Now, well, the question is, what about the Arava? We have the Arava, which is in the Lulav, right? So shouldn't that just be the same thing as the Lulav? If you're shaking the Lulav, then you're shaking the Arava. So the answer is, it sounds like the Arava is a separate idea. The Arava seems to be a separate mitzvah altogether, which works in a different way. How does it work? So the Mishnah explains a little bit more. It says the following. The Mishnah tells us, if anybody needs extras, there's a few here which are just floating around, if anybody needs. The Arava says, Arava shiva ketzad. How would you shake it 7 days? This is the next Mishnah. Yom shvi'i shel arava shechol liyos b'shabbos, arava shiva. U'sha'ar kol ha'yamim shisha. Let's say Hoshana Rabba fell out on a Shabbos. Now that's not possible in our fixed calendar today, right? In our calendar today, Hoshana Rabba is always on a weekday. But in those days when, depending on the Kviya D'Yarcha, based on when they saw the moon, it could be potentially that Hoshana Rabbah would be on a Shabbos. If Hoshana Rabbah today would be on a Shabbos, the Yom Shvi'i of Sukkos, then they would shake the Arava all 7 days in the base of Mikdash. If Hoshana Rabbah would be on a weekday, then the day that Shabbos was, let's say Shabbos was on the third day of Chol HaMoed, for argument's sake, that day they wouldn't shake the Arava, they wouldn't take the Arava, and the rest of the days they'd bring it. So it's interesting, it sounds like they're two separate mitzvahs, and the prominent day of each of those mitzvahs are different days. The prominent day, we'll call the essential day of the mitzvah of lulav, is day one. The essential mitzvah of arava is day seven. And if the prominent days were on Shabbos in the Mikdash, then it would supersede Shabbos. If it weren't, that the Shabbos would eclipse one of them. That's why it's 6 or 7, depending on when its day was. Which means it's almost like there's a separate mitzvah of arava, which would be 6 days and one day in the Mikdash. Now, the reason why we're not as familiar with this is because when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, interestingly enough, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan Mezaka made a takana that we shake lulav all 7 days in order to remember what they did in the Beis HaMikdash. But he didn't make the gezeira, he didn't make the same gezeira about Arava, which is why we don't shake it, or we don't hold it for 7 days like we did in the Beis HaMikdash. He only made the takana on lulav. We're going to see that in just a second. So what would actually happen? So what would they do in the Beis HaMikdash? Not so simple. The two Mishnahs later, Mishnah Hey says, Mitzvos Arava Ketzad, what would they do? Makom Hayah Lamatom Yerushalayim V'nikra Moitza. There's a place below Yerushalayim called Moitza. So for those of you who are driving into Yerushalayim from the coastal plain, you're coming up from Tel Aviv, if you're driving to Yerushalayim, so there's a lot of hills, there's lots of ups. There's one long down, just after you pass Mevaseret, right? So there's a very long downhill. I remember I once got a tramp from, by the way, that's why I started putting an Aleph into my last name, because people get confused when you try to explain in Israel. Now they don't, but it used to be, they would always say, tramp. I was like, no, tramp. Anyway, so it's very important. So I once caught a tramp from Beit Meir. I'm telling you, Mamish, I think I said like Gomel in the car. It was unbelievable. So anyway, so we're coming down that particular hill because it's an extreme downhill. You go down to a valley and you start going the final ascent to Yerushalayim. So in that valley is a place called Moitza, right? It's Beit Zayit. Moitza you'll see actually on the signpost, right? And I actually have a friend who has a grandparent who lives there, so I spent a Shabbos there. It's a very beautiful place. A little shul right off the side of the highway on the left. If you go there, very beautiful place. So that place was where they would go, and they would go, and what would they do? Yardim Misham, Malaktim Misham, Murbiyos Shel Arava. They'd go and collect, they obviously had willows there, they'd collect these fronds of Arava, Voyezokvim on some Tzid HaMizbech, and they would lean them on the side of the Mizbech. V'roshem Kefufim Al Gabei HaMizbech, and their heads would be so long that they would be like tilted over the side of the Mizbech. Now, the Gemara goes on to explain that there were 11 Amos. We're talking about like, you know, pretty serious Aravos. Yanki just showed me a great video of a fellow in Shul who's like, Mamish got these Aravos like the ones they had in the Beis HaMikdash. She's like, that's not what we do today, right? But nonetheless, they'd have these huge Aravos, right? The long, long, long Arava branches. They'd lean them against the Mizbech. Taku v'heriu v'taku, they would blow shofar. B'chol yom makifin es mizbeach pamachas, and they'd walk around the mizbeach one time every day. V'omrim ano Hashem Hashiano, ano Hashem Atzlichano. That's what they would say. And this is sort of where our hoishan, so our kofas come from. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ani v'hoi Hashiano. Rabbi Yehuda would add on, ani v'hoi Hashiano. Just an interesting little wrinkle. The Torah Tamim on his Pirshon Pirkei Avos says that what that refers to is sometimes, you know, we abbreviate the name of Hashem. So the word Ani can be an abbreviation for the Shem Adnus, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. So Rabbi Yehuda is actually adding in, he's not saying Ani Vahoy, he's saying Hashem, Adoshem, and Hoy is an abbreviation of Shem Avaya. So he's adding in an extra name of Hashem into that, just to appreciate what Rabbi Yehuda is doing. Fascinating insight. And they go around seven times on the seventh day, and that's referring to what we do, right? That's our Hashonas. They would say, beauty to you, Mizbech, beauty to you, Mizbech. This is important because what we're doing, what we're replicating whenever the Torah and the Biman are going around, is we're replicating this Mishnah over here, which is our kofas of surrounding the Mizbech, which would be done over here. So, as they would leave this. By the way, it's interesting to note that the Gemara in Sukkah, the whole Gemara in Sukkah ends with a lady from the tribe, from the base of Bilga who insulted the Mizbech. And the Mizbech seems to be a very central part of the Sukkah celebration. This Nisuch HaMayim is done on the Mizbech. There's a lot to do with the Mizbech in the center of operations over here. Now let's try to appreciate this carefully over here. Why is it, meaning, where did this come from? You read through the Torah, the Arve Nachal is one of the four minim. There's nothing special about it specifically that the Torah mentions, right? So where does this come from? Where did this suddenly arrive from that we have this minag that it comes from? So the Gemara actually asks the question. Take a look. This is the Gemara on Mem Dalet Amud Aleph in Sukkah. We're just going to go through, learn it's a Keseder. The Gemara says the following: Amale Abaye LeRava. Abaye asks a very fascinating question, which is applicable today. He says in the top line, "My Shna Lulav Davdinon Le Shiva Zeichel Migdash, U'My Shna Rava Dole Davdinon Le Shiva Zeichel Migdash." Why is it that when we remember the Lulav, we shake it all 7 days to remember what they used to do in the Mizbeah, in the Beis Migdash? But Arava, what do? We pick it up only on the seventh day. Like the prominent day of the Arava. We don't hold it all 7 days like they did in the Mizbeach. Lulav and Arava were both for 7 days in the Mikdash, or six, depending on how it fell out. So why did we not replicate that Zecher Mikdash? It seems to be they're on different standings. So he gives a suggestion. He says, because you already have it in the Lulav. It's on the side, right? So you already done it. You got the Zecher. He says, no. No, that's part of the Lulav. That's not the Arava. That's the Arba Minim part of it, right? So you say, no. So what you do is you pick up the lulav twice, once for the lulav and once for the arava independently. He says, no, no, he says, no. He says, I don't know about you, but do you see anybody doing that? Nobody does that. Clearly there's no zeich lemikdash for arava on any of the other days, right? Amar Rabbi Razid Mishmei de Rava Lulav de Araisa of Dinon Shiva Zeichel Amigdash Arava de Rabbanon Lulav Dinon Shiva Zeichel Amigdash. The reason is because there are different types of mitzvahs. The Torah explicitly says you should take the Lulav in the Beis Amigdash for 7 days, right? So we replicate that when the Beis Amigdash is no longer here to remember that. But the Arava isn't Mida Araisa, it isn't explicit in the Torah, as is clear from when we learn the Torah. So we don't make it as Zeichel Amigdash all 7 days. That's what the Gemara says. Now to clarify that, the Gemara says, what does it mean it's de Rabbanon? What does it mean that the rabbis instituted? When do they institute this? Why do they institute this? What's going on over here? So if we zip down a little further in the Gemara actually says the following. This is towards the bottom of the same Amud. Itzmar, in the next paragraph. Itzmar Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Chad Omar Arava Yesoid Neviim, V'chad Omar Arava Minhag Neviim. They debate where did it originate? So that one of the opinions is that it's a Yesoid, it's a foundation of the prophets. The other one says it is a Minhag Neviim. What does that really mean? Take a look at the Rashi on the right. Just superimpose the Rashi, which is appropriate to us. It says Yesod Neviim. Takonos Neviim Achronim Chagai Zechariah Malachi Shemimimimasakne Takonos Yisrael Ban Sheknes Lagdala. So the last of the Neviim were Chagai Zechariah Malachi. They lived at the beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash, and they were part of the Ban Sheknes Lagdala, who formulated a lot of the we'll call it the rigid format of Tefillah, Brachos, and so on. So they were the ones who said we should do this Arava business. That's where it came from. Right. Rashi then says, Minag, what does it mean in Minag? Hinhigu esa'an v'loi taknu lohem. They made, it became a Minag. V'nafka mina d'loi abaya bracha, d'leika l'meima t'vitzivonu, d'afilu b'chla loi tosur leisa. Rashi says, if it was just a Minag, it's all developed as a custom. If it developed as a custom, there's no bracha on a Minag. This Rashi is a very complicated Rashi, just in general, because we say bracha on Halal, and Halal might be a Minag, right. So it's a very good, very big question. All Achronim deal with this Rashi over here. We're not going to get into that right now.
But we don't make a bracha on this, and we say it's a Minag. In the Lashon, we say Minag.
Yes, we say Minag Neviim, right. We're doing a Zeichel Minag, just to be clear. Right, we're doing a Zeichel Minag, we're not doing the Minag. Okay? So what the Gemara continues to say is the following. The Gemara continues to say that actually, when they would shake or they would hold or surround with the Arava in the Beis Hamikdash, that was a halacha l'moshe m'sinai. That's what the Gemara concludes. Meaning, that was a tradition from Sinai that they used to do that. Where do they know this from? Moses told them at Sinai. He didn't write it down. He told it to them. Like we know, when the Torah tells us pri etz hadar, we know that isn't referring to the mango, it is not referring to the banana, it's referring to the esrog. That was halacha l'moshe m'sinai. We know that tefillin are square and black, right? Those are called halacha l'moshe m'sinai. We know that we took the arava on the seventh day. However, where outside of the Beis Hamikdash, that's when it was the Minag Neviim. That's when the Neviim started instituting it as well, either practice or they instituted it. Either.
So why is it only Zeichel Minag? If the Minag was outside,
So
outside the Beis Hamikdash.
Right, so we're doing a Zeichel to the Minag Neviim outside the Beis Hamikdash. That's where we are.
Why isn't it actually the Minag Neviim outside the Beis Hamikdash? If the Minag Neviim was outside the Beis Hamikdash,
because the Ikar is gone. Meaning to say the actual practice, Halacha l'Moshe M'Sinai is gone. So all we have left is the Minag Neviim, right? But there's no, we're not doing what was supposed to be done in the Beis Hamikdash, right?
No, the Halacha L'moshe M'Sinai is in the Beis Hamikdash. The Minag Neviim is outside the Beis Hamikdash. That's what we're doing.
Okay, good. So I want to come back to this point in a second. There's a Sfas Emes I want to come back to who talks about why this specifically is. Okay. But you see, there's a little more complexity over here to this. So apparently we're seeing something else. Now, by the way, it's important to realize why, it's just interesting to think, it's not just any Neviim, it's the Neviim Achronim. I mean, so the very, very tail end of Nevuah is part of this. That's also part of what we should be thinking about, because they're the people coming back in the second Beis Hamikdash after the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash. So apparently in the first Beis Hamikdash, the Neviim did not see appropriate to expand this to outside the Beis Hamikdash. Only at the second Beis Hamikdash. You have to think about that for a second, what that means. Okay, so why is it? Why is it this is Halacha L'moshe M'sinai? Why was this the Minag or Yesod Neviim that expanded outwards? What was the significance of this? In the Beis Hamikdash itself. Outside, that's what the Gemara says, Kam B'Mikdash, Kam B'Gvulim. That's the last line of the Gemara. That was outside the Beis Hamikdash or inside the Beis Hamikdash. So I want to just explore a few ideas, really four ideas as to why the Arava. Why is the Arava so important to us? Out of all the things, why is this what finds its precedence and your uniqueness. I like the adasim. They last longer, right? They smell nice. Right, so, you know, like, why was it the aroma that made its way in here?
Especially with water.
You could grow them
right.
Here in New York.
It's only there you go. Right, you know, you can grow them in your backyard. Yeah, right. It's a very good financial investment.
You need water.
I tried growing a sprig in my backyard.
You need water. You need water. You just need to water them, and in a few years' time, you could be selling them for $7 a shot.
But
and you're all right.
You can't grow them here. There's no water.
No.
There's a rock in your backyard, very easy.
Estrogen are hard in this climate, but there are robbers we can manage. Nonetheless, so I wanted to explore with you four ideas. The first is the following. This is actually a pasuk in Tehillim Samaches. The pasuk says, Shiru Lelohim Zamru Shemoi, Solu Lorecha Baravois Beyosh Shemoi Veilzu Lefonov. That we're singing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're praising Him, extolling Him, Lorechev Baravois. Now, you notice that the translation is a little inaccurate, right? Beze Baravois means in the clouds. That's not exactly what the translation is. There's two ways to translate this. One is Barava could mean in the desert. The other way it could mean is not Barava in the desert, but on
the willows.
Right. So we describe Hashem as, so to speak, the rider of willows. Interesting sort of image we're conjuring up over here in Tehillim. That's how we're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why that? So the Gemara famously says, we say this actually on a Motzei Shabbos, for those who finish V'yitzeh Necha, it's at the very, very end of V'yitzeh Necha. The Gemara says, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Mekol Makom She'ato Moitzei Gevurosoi Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ato Moitzei An V'sunosoi. Anytime we see the strength of Hashem is where we see His humility. It's found in the tripartite division of Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. We're going to skip the Torah and Nevi'im, Devarim and Yeshayahu. But take a look at the end. B'Ksuvim, the second last line, in the scriptures, Dechsev, Solu l'roiche ba'arvois b'kar shemoi, uksiv basrei avi yusomim v'adayan amonois. That the pasuk immediately following this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the father of all those who don't have parents, and the judge of widows. Meaning to say, the people who perhaps would be a little more vulnerable in society, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks after. What the Mefarshim say is that's why it's Ba'arav voice. The Arava is this lowly plant, the weeping willow, this lowly plant doesn't really have too much to it. It's easy. It dries out fast.
I mean, the other way around. So shall I tell you a contrast? On the one hand, he's up in the clouds. Mm. On the other hand, he's down. He's down.
You're right.
You're right.
The Mefarshim point out that even in the description of how powerful HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, perhaps that's also a little bit of the double entendre, if you think about it, meaning to say the loftiness and the lowliness at the same time. At the same time. You know, like, what's the chariot the king chooses to ride in? The chariot is the Arava. You know, that's sort of this. You know, you expect the king to be walking in grandeur. Yes, at the same time, the grandeur is a grandeur of not such strength and power, which is something we need to think about in terms of, like, you know, we know today's Yom HaDin. How do we come into the day of din? Well, it depends. You know how we relate to. It depends how we relate to those who are less fortunate potentially as well. One idea. The Rabbeinu Bechaye says on the Torah, a very, very powerful idea. I don't fully understand it, but I want to just read it just so we realize that we're beyond our depth. Just so that we're clear that this is much more than we see it. He says the Kedela Horos. In source 7, Shiltonosai HaKadosh Baruch Yisborach Al Galgal Hashvii Hu HaRavos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What was that?
That's
yeah.
The lowest of the heavens. Right?
Correct. So it's very, very Kabbalistic. There's how many heavens in there are. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of what we'll call the Galgal Hashvii, which is sort of the seventh sphere, we'll call it, just for better lack of better translation, which is the HaRavos. Lachain Kavulon Rabosenu Chachomenu Chachmea Emes. Chachmea Emes refers to the Kabbalistic teachers. Mitzvahs Arava B'yom HaShvi. We do the Arava on the seventh day, so to speak. There's seven celestial spheres. The seventh one is today, Yehoshana Rabbah. And on that day, we are celebrating with Arava. V'nischayev kol echad ve'echad miYisrael litol b'yoda Arava B'yom Zeh. Milvad Arava Shebelulav. And we take an additional Arava beyond the Lulav. Shehi romezes ala inyan azeh ba'atzmoy. Ki mitzvahs lulav b'minoy arbo haim upratim shiva. Upiratom shiva, right? So let's think about the Lulav for a second. In the Ashkenaz tradition, at the very least, right? We have one lulav, one esrog, two aravos, and three adasim, right? So that's seven. So he says, meaning it's arba minim, but really there's actually seven components to the arba minim. He says, with pirtom shiva, v'yom ashvi aravos zehu yom chof aleph letishrei kemispar shem of Hashem yudhei and avov. So the incomplete name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're the 21st day of Tishrei today, which is the incomplete name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Sheboy Nechtam Olam Lashesh Ketzavos Vu Yom Chavav Lebrias Olam Shenivra Bechafei Be'elo. But it's actually the 26th day, which is the full name of Hashem Yudkei Vavkei, from the time of the creation, which is the 25th of Elul. Okay, so we are sort of in the completion moment between that last 21 and 26. V'nikra ha'yom hazeh, hu yom ha'choysim ha'godol, this is the day of the great signing, k'neged ha'shem ha'godol, sheboi nivra ha'oilam v'lekach, nikra ha'shana rabba, it's called the ha'shana rabba v'yodua ki ha'yom hazeh hu tachlis ha'chag. So it's just to point out that we're a little bit beyond our depth over here. Just to appreciate this, we're talking about the level of the seventh celestial level of heaven. The Gemara in Chagiga on Daf Yud Beis and Beis talks about the seven levels of heaven, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Roicha Baravos is the seventh level. We take it to represent that we've sort of come to this gateway, which is the completion between the name of Hashem is being finished, Yud-Kei and Avov, and then the Hay, which is being added, if we're counting back from the time of the Bria Sa'ilam. So a much more complex idea over here. I think it's sometimes worthwhile just knowing that there is much more to what we see. Idea number two. Idea number one seems pretty simple. Idea number two, much more complex. But let's try to see more practical ideas. So coming back to Shlomo's point. What is this whole idea of Minag HaRov B'Hashanah Rabbah in Sourcei? The Sasem says the following. Ki hinei iso b'medrash she'adalad minim hu ba'alei ha'toro mitzvah su'pshuta b'nei Yisrael v'nasim ha'goda achas. We know famously, or everybody comes back from preschool describing how, you know, the lulav, the esrog has the Torah and mitzvot, it's got the taste and the smell. Mm-hmm. Then we have the hadasim, and we have the lulav, which have a little bit of each. Mm-hmm. And when we get to the arov has none of each. And we put them all together, mm-hmm. and famously, it's sort of all of Klal Yisrael comes together on Sukkos. Mm-hmm. Beautiful idea. Mm-hmm. He says, Aval bavoneseinu harabim, atosh, einam yicholim lis'asef. We don't have the ability to really have the aguda. We don't really have the ability to all come together fully. We just can't. We don't. Have, not all the different components of Israel can't come together. And the baseless hatred is still dancing among us. So what do we need? Sometimes we come in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we say, we're without actions, we're without Torah. We have so little. We don't even have unity to come in front of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki bevadai achag asukos b'koyach halolov mischabri nafshos b'nei Yisrael v'tikun anaviyem liyos nishar he'or me'agurozu al kol ashona she'enem yicholen mischaber. He says, why do we take the arova? Because that's how far we are from what the lulav should be. Now, I think that's really important, because now think about, what did Rashi say? Rashi said, when was the minago that Yisod Neviyem established? It was after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, when they spent 70 years in Golos Bavel. The Persians allow them back. Most of Israel doesn't even come back to the land of Israel. They say, thank you so much. We're really happy with our tennis courts in Bavel. We're all right here. Right? They're doing quite fine. Right? And now Ezra and Nehemiah are establishing this whole new time. Chagai Zachariah Malachi. You know, if you read Chagai is a very short sefer, right? It's only two prokim long. And in it, most of Chagai's prophecy is, why are you sitting in your bottom sefunim, in your paneled houses, and the Beis HaMikdash isn't built? The reason why they weren't building the Beis HaMikdash is because the neighbors were being malshin on them to the Persian authorities that they couldn't build the Beis HaMikdash. I mean, it wasn't a simple situation, yeah, the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. We didn't have power, we were still paying taxes to Persia, right? There was a wall in the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishnah describes this. There's a wall in the second Beis HaMikdash, which is called the Shushan Wall. Why? Because it had the mural of Shushan in the Beis HaMikdash, right? I mean, imagine the Beis HaMikdash being built today with the New York skyline, because that's where the money came from. Well, that's where, you know. Can you imagine that? Right? Forget the train station, right? Like, think about that. What that means. Think about what a lowly experience this is. So says the Neviim Achronim, as they're bringing in the Beis HaMikdash, as they're congregating this, we'll call this new and much more humble Beis HaMikdash, they say, you know what? We know that now we have the Beis HaMikdash, we can bring the Arava again, but really everywhere else we also really need to bring this Arava, because we need to remind ourselves how deficient we are as a nation. We don't necessarily always have the schus of coming together.
No, because it's like a Yom HaDin, so I feel like you also want to come Kiroshim or Kedalim, the fact that Blasecha. Like, we all want to say we're not fancy things.
I think that comes from the first idea, the Gemara says. The Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is, so to speak, in his greatness is lowly. So that's what we're trying to do. But he's saying, no. In our Golus, it's a part of the historical process, which is why the Arava still continues today in the lowliness. That might be, by the way, why it is that we beat it as well. Meaning, Meaning, like, look how low we are. Meaning, even the Arava, even the single one, which has no function in and of itself, we beat it. It's you know, we're taking off its leaves, and we're undressing it, so to speak, in terms of where we stand. So one is personally, the one is historically where we stand. But the most important, yeah, Jack, sorry.
And also, when you mentioned that they took those 11 Amma Aravas, if you think about it, like we have the Sukkah, the Schachas, and the Nanei Kavod, even though the Aravas are the lowest, it's still having Hashem higher above.
Beautiful. Goes that out. Beautiful. I want to just close with one idea, and this is a very powerful idea. This is an idea I came across just as Yom Tov in the Shem Yishmor, the Soka Chava Rebbe. This is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful idea. Take a look at this. This is such a transformational idea about the Arava. It's all worth it just for this. The Shem Yishmor says the following: Inyan HaArava, what is the why is it that we learn that we take the Arava bifnei atzmoi by itself? By the way, when you learn the Shem Yishmor, you get to learn a lot of acronyms. Right, it's very important. You get to learn a lot of important acronyms over here. Whenever he quotes his grandfather, who was the Kotzker Rebbe, it's an entire line. It's all abbreviations. Adoni, Avi, Adoni, Zakeni, Moi, Verabi, Zecher, Tzadik, Liroch, Lachaya, Lamabo. All in abbreviations. So you have to, like, you really get to learn what respect looks like, and also just to being able to see the terseness of how he says it. He says, Inyan Arava, Bishinit Nitla Bifnei Atzmoi. After Ein Ba Loi Tam V'Loi Reach, we're taking the lowliest of the Arba Minim. No taste, no smell. Ramezes Le'elu She'ein Bohem Torah V'Loi Mitzvahs. Those who don't have the, you know, either Torah or the commandments. V'im Halulav Mitzar Finoisai Kama Amram Zal. You know that on the rest of Sukkot, we put it together with the Lulav. Yavoh Elu V'Yachapru Al Elu. And we say, you know what? You know, all together will be all right. Those who don't necessarily have the wherewithal are going to come with those who do. Kamoi halavona im samamonei akatoris. Chelbuna im samamonei akatoris. Like, we know that there's 11 spices, and one of them is not a very pleasant smell. The chelbuna, we include that in the katoris, and we say the same thing. It's sort of we let those who might not be worthy necessarily join with the rest who aren't.
That's the
kolnidre. Im avarionim, right? So let everybody come in, we'll all do it together. V'im kein loma nitla bifnei atzmoi. Why should it be taken by itself? Call shiva b'migdash. Why is it that we would therefore take it in the base of the Mikdash by itself? Meaning we don't want to emphasize its aloneness. We want to emphasize its togetherness. So he says the following. This is a beautiful chiddush. He says, Hakosuv Oson Kulon Chaverim Beregel Dimishum Hachi Tumas Am Haaretz Taru Beregel. There's a halacha. In general, if a person is not knowledgeable of Torah knowledge, things they touch, we have to be suspect that they could become Tomei. However, there's an exception to that. That on the Regel, on Yom Tov, if they come up, we're not choisha them. We're not concerned about the Tumas Am Ha'aretz of a person who's not knowing Torah. So he says, I understand when people come to the Beis HaMikdash, even if they're not worthy people, we see it reflected in Halacha, that we give them the respect. We know that they're going to be extra super careful now because they're in the Mikdash. So I understand why the Arava in the Beis HaMikdash, even representing those Jews who might not be right, the tip-top of their requirements, we can bring them there because why? Because the Beis HaMikdash is a special place where people act uniquely, people act specially. It's like a shul or what a shul should be, where people act differently than the way they don't just talk the same way or act the same way or play the same way and when they go to a shul. Says Val Kain, Afkashu Bifne Atzmoy, Nami Yeshla Mala Saklal Ach Bigvulin, Vashana Rabat Sorek Time. He says, but we're not in the base of Mikdash. Right? We're not in the base of Mikdash where that halacha applies. So why is it they instituted that in the Gvulin outside of Yerushalayim, outside the base of Mikdash, that we take the lulav on Hashanah Rabbah? We should be hiding it, right? The Harava is the one who represents the fact that we don't have enough. That's his problem. He's a Nira. Tineb. But Mamar Lech Lecha. What's that abbreviation? Avram Avinu Olav Hashalom. Right? So he says, in Lech Lecha, by Avram Avinu, of blessed memory, Kosov Aramban, Shezois HaParsha, Loi Biara Kol Inyan Shehoyo Avram Mikoidem Oived Hashem. Oy Tzadik. We know nothing about Avram Avinu. We know that, we know that he married Yiska, and that he started moving with his father. But other than that, we have no resume, no CV, no background knowledge about Avram Avinu. Why doesn't the Torah tell us this? Right? All these wonderful things. Why? Why? Who are you, Avram Avinu? This is the greatest bracha given to somebody. We don't know why. We don't know his precedent. What did he do to deserve this? That's why, by the way, that's what the Midrashim are saying. The Kivshana Esh, the whole thing with that, they're giving us the background that the Torah isn't giving us, right? So the Ramban asks this question. He presents a number of options. Ad Kan Devorei. He says, however, he quotes the Maharal. The Maharal is a very succinct idea why Avraham Avinu has got no background. The Maharal tirets ki beim hayok siv tzidkas Avram mikoidem. No question Avraham Avinu was a tzaddik beforehand. But if the Torah to emphasize his tzidkus, hayonirin, hayonirisha bechira boy machmas tzidkosai. So you would think, you know, why was Avraham Avinu so special? Because he used to help old ladies across the road, he used to give stock on Tuesdays, because he used to be a nice guy, he used to set up a gemach, he used to have an inn. Whatever it is that the Torah would have given us, then we would have said, okay, that's why Avraham Avinu is special, right? Then we would say, well, you know why Jews are special? Because they do these kind of things. Then we say, well, maybe Hashem only loves us because of the gemach. Maybe Hashem only loves us because of the inn. Maybe Hashem only loves us because of all the nice things we do. So what happens later on down the road? And the Jews are not exactly acting like Avraham Avinu. You know, you wouldn't put the two together. You say, well, maybe this is not the chosen nation. They just become unchosen. It wasn't because of what he did. It wasn't because of what he learnt. It wasn't because of anything that he, you know, changed the world for. It was because of who he was. And therefore, there's no way to obliterate it because it was without specific reason. And he goes on to describe in the next paragraph without seeing it inside. He says, anytime we do Torah and mitzvahs, ultimately it's what he calls a levush. Meaning to say, when I do a mitzvah, right? So this morning we had the opportunity of shaking lulav. When I shake lulav, I'm in a certain sense enclothing myself in a mantle of mitzvah. It's enclothing my neshama, gives, and vice versa. When a person has an avera, they're surrounding themselves with negative koichos, negative spiritual forces, right? But they're a levush, they're a clothing to the soul. So he says, Ulfiza, skipping the next paragraph to the third paragraph in this column on the left, Ulfiza yeshlama de mitzvah arova she'ein lo tam v'reach. The arova is neither taste nor scent. Haramezes lemisha ein lo tam v'torah v'lo reach mitzvahs. A person doesn't learn. A person who hasn't done actions. Mo'ereres lemalo etzem abechiras yisrael v'lo mitzvah ha'torah v'lo mitzvah shebahem. It's not about our clothing. It's not about what we're wearing. It's not about our resume. These are clothing to the soul. Our soul born naked without any clothing. That is what's chosen. After this whole process of the last 20 days of Tishrei, where we removed all the external garb and born our souls in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nizkala etzama nefesh hatahara ba hashana rabba, umo'orim ezeh al yidei haraba b'fnei atzma. So we take the lowliest thing. We take something which is no yesh. It doesn't last even a few days without getting dried out. Something which is supple. Something which has no contributions in terms of fruit. Has no contributions in terms of scent. Because ultimately, at core, we are irretractably special to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the way we are representing with our rabba. So it's not a negativity. It's actually, in fact, the greatest schusa we have that can never be changed. You know, they say the story about Rav Aryeh Levi in the Tzaddik of Yerushalayim. So there was in the old days, it wasn't a very big population in Yerushalayim, in the Yishuv HaYashan. And there was a fellow, there was a young man, who was dabbled in the same shtibbol as Rav Aryeh Levi. And he went to the army. In those days, it wasn't so simple. It wasn't as if you had, like, you know, Hezder units and, you know, the Netzer Yehuda and all the wonderful things that we have today. This fellow went to the army and he came back, he wasn't wearing a yarmulke anymore. So Rav Aryeh Levin sees him on the street, and this fellow walks across the street, doesn't want to see Rav Aryeh Levin. He feels really embarrassed. So Rav Aryeh Levin comes up to him and he says to him, Shalom Aleichem, how are you? I want to speak with you. I want to talk to you. Tell me about how things are going. So the man says, I feel a little bad. He says, Rav, you know, Kvod Rav. He says, I feel so bad. He says, I'm not lavush kippah. I'm not even wearing a yarmulke. So Rav Aryeh Levin says, look, I'm a short kind of man. He says, I can't see your head. He says, but at my eye level is your heart. And I can see your heart, and that's where it is. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what we say on Hoshana Rabbah is, you know what? We don't have the Ma'asim Tovim. We're missing a lot of things. We come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu a little incomplete. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, I look at not necessarily the top, But I look inside, and that's what the essence is. So again, four ideas of the Arava. This Minag Nevi'im, which came later. One is like we were saying, on a spiritual level, we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu humbly, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is as a judge. That's the Roi Chev by Aravos. Number two is the Rabbeinu Bechaya says, this is the combination of two cycles of sevens, ending at the 21st, which is five shy of the Yishem Yud Kei Vov Kei Liachta, Yichud Kutcha Brichu Shkinte, which is what's happening over here on this day. The third idea of the Sfas Emes, that was historically speaking, this came at the time where they realized that the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash is still imminent at the time of the reconstruction of it, which is why they expanded the minag of the lowliness, of the singularity to the Gvul, and the Shem Yishmor says, no, it's exactly the opposite. It's about us, it's about our uniqueness as we kind of come in front of our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Mes Hashem, we should be Zoichem Bedin, Shem Piska Tova for us, for Kol Klal Yisrael, God willing, on the Soshana Rabbah.
Okay. You're a minion for benching?
Okay.